The standard school lockdown plan is meant to minimize chaos so police arriving on the scene don't shoot the wrong people. Students practice following directions, getting into classrooms, and basically waiting. But some security experts think that's inadequate and may actually be dangerous. Greg Crane is a former teacher and SWAT officer. He notes even trained police officers miss roughly 3/4 of their shots fired in the line of duty. But
these school shooters, they don't miss at that higher rate. In fact, they almost hit at that higher rate. Cho at Virginia Tech, he was over 100-1 numerical disadvantage. One person should not be able to do what these single shooters are able to do.
Crane says the staff and students are just too easy to shoot.
We've conditioned them to go sit in the corner, go sit under a table.
So he's developed a training program that teaches potential victims to make it harder, and that includes ways to fight back. It's called ALICE training: alert, lockdown, inform, counter, evacuate.
We don't tell them what to do. We tell them what they can do. Ultimately, they're going to be the ones experiencing this danger, and we want them to be the ones to decide, what is it that I can do that will increase my chance of survival?
Crane and others want to empower the people in the situation to make those life and death decisions, even when they're children. About 1.5 million students in almost 300 systems have had ALICE training. Crane says he's taught it to kindergartners. But here's a more typical setting: Alabama's Auburn University, where law enforcement veteran Chance Corbett is analyzing school shootings for some 30 staff and students. He points out huge differences in room-to-room survival rates based on what the occupants did. At Virginia Tech, a professor was killed, but not before he saved students' lives by getting them to jump out windows. Then there's the classroom where students barricaded the door.
We chart out Norris Hall, second floor. And we talk about this classroom, 12 dead, 8 dead, 3 injured. We got to this classroom, it was 0. They made a decision that day to save their lives. How many of you want to be in that classroom?
Corbett says escape is always best, and countering is a last resort. But people should know how.
Teamwork, strength in numbers, guys. You don't want 2 things going in his head. You want 34 things going in his head. You're going to be up fighting, throwing, screaming, yelling, and swarming. Getting out of the way, moving.
He'd already led a tennis ball drill showing shooters can't help but look at flying objects, which can buy time to flee or charge. After the class, Corbett tells me,
"You're teaching how to barricade, how to lock down, how to run, but when it gets to the point that they are there to do the harm, do you really want your kid just to hide under the desk?"
ALICE supporters often quote examples of unarmed people stopping shooters. Even so, not everyone thinks it's a good approach. Here's school security consultant and writer Ken Trump.
Most middle school kids can't decide between chicken nuggets and pizza for lunch. To think that we're going to put that liability and responsibility in the hands of a seventh grader is insane.
Many parents feel the same way. Greg Crane's hometown of Burleson, Texas, was the first school district in the country to try ALICE. Some parents supported it, but others revolted, and the superintendent pulled the plug. An Alabama district recently started ALICE and is in the middle of a similar controversy. Ken Trump says the issue forces parents to confront a troubling question: would you want your student leading the charge?
It may continue to grow until the first child who jumps up at an armed intruder gets killed and a school official has to explain. I would not want my child to be the first one dead in the classroom floor.
But some parents would accept that risk. School policy analyst Tricia Powell Crane, no relation to Greg Crane, has 2 children in college and another in high school.
I would be proud of them if they stepped up and tried to end the shooting. It's just tragic. It's tough to think about, but if your child helped save lives in the process, then yes, that's acceptable.
She points to situations where experts have changed their thinking about how potential victims should respond. Before 9/11, passengers were advised to comply with hijackers. Self-defense instructors used to tell women to go limp to survive a rape. And now, a similar shift toward more active resistance may be happening in schools and colleges. And it doesn't look like the reason to plan for school shootings is going away. For the Southern Education Desk at WBHM, I'm Dan Carson.